My name is Ben. I am playing a fighter named Sir Hector Isinglass. He is the sole male heir of the Lords of Hyrok and has unclaimed ancestral holdings in Drakenhall.
Hi, I'm Mark. I'm playing Grognar, the half-orc barbarian. And my one unique thing is I contain the soul of the white.
Hi, I'm Evan. I'm playing a paladin named Harrier Wheelwright. And Harrier's one unique thing is that something Harrier has could destroy the Lich King or restore the life of the Wizard King. He does not know what it is.
Hi, I'm Becca, and I am playing a halfling ranger, Tava Greenthumb, who is the last heir of the Greenthumb Duchy, which was swallowed by a hellhole.
I am Rob Hanso. I'm playing Quincy, no family name. Quincy is a bard. I promise you that my one unique thing is not something that screws the party in any way or hurts the other player characters. I promise you that.
So you now can see the figures as you move in. You can see that one of them, two of them are actually large iron golem-esque creatures. Yes, Mark.
Oh.
Do we roll our iconic relationships?
So before we get into this description, what I'd like you all to do is go ahead and roll your iconic relationships. The power of editing.
So
remember, it's the highest number that you roll. And in the case of ties, you get all of those icon relationships. This is one of the changes that is going on for 13th Age 2nd Edition. You're always guaranteed to have at least one icon relationship going forward. Now, when you use them, I then roll a d20, and on a 1 through 5, it is what used to be a icon relationship with something bad attached to it or something not going quite the way you wanted it to. Now it is based off a d20 roll. So you always get to feel like you can use it without inhibition.
Oh.
After that is when I roll for it. So what did everyone get?
I got a 6 with a 3.
Okay. Mark got a 6 with the 3. So Mark, so that was your highest number. Yep.
Yes. Yeah. It automatically populated on the forge character sheet.
Tava, what'd you get?
My highest was with the High Druid.
And just one?
Yeah, it was a 6 and a 5.
Okay. Evan, Harrier, whose name I'm always going to look, when I talk to you or Ben, I'm going to look at your name on my cheat sheet because I cannot tell you how much editing my confusion of the two of you caused over the last 5 episodes.
Sorry. Ben's fault.
Harrier, what's your icon relationship?
I rolled a 6 with the Emperor, a 6 with the Priestess, and a 5 with the Lich King. So I guess.
You get the Emperor and the Priestess. Hector, what'd you get?
I got double ones with the 3, so nothing there.
So it's just the high. So you roll all of them, and it's just the highest actual value.
All right, so 6 for the Emperor.
It's the Emperor.
Mm-hmm.
Quincy.
All right, Quincy, no family name.
All right, so you've got a 1 with the Emperor.
Yep.
There's a lot of imperial goodness going around here. The 3 figures you can now clearly see as the tower once again lurches to your left, and you can hear the bones of the scrollums kind of rolling and bouncing to the far side of the room. The 2 of them that flank the central figure are large metal golems. You can see that they have intricate writing all over the metal plates that form their bodies. Each of them has a large diamond that is glowing in the center of their chest. And they don't really have features on their face. They just have a smooth, almost perfectly reflective, glass-like face. The figure in the center kind of goes, "Ook, I'm sorry. Who is what I meant? Who are you? And what are you doing in the library? And have you returned any books?"
"Oh, my good fellow, a fellow librarian. So great to have met by someone with of such obvious erudition and such incredibly powerful bodyguards. Yes, we're bringing back as many books as we can. As you can see, we have them strapped on our bodies, and we're trying to return them here. And finding...
Ah.
Yeah.
Are you there with the orcs that came through here and those goblinoid fellows?
And you can see that at this point, the two steel golems kind of take steps forward in front.
Well, I mean, here with them in the sense that we had to kill a great number of them to, like, to get here, you know, for the good of the Empire and all that. And somebody else, Harrier. I'm looking at Harrier. I'm pretty sure it's Harrier, not Hector. Sort of kicking you, like going, Paladin up, man. Paladin up. I can't keep up this con man act.
Greetings. I'm Harrier Wheelwright. I here representing the Imperial Justice Bureau. And we're in the middle of an investigation. This is a ad hoc strike team. And I've deputized it under the Imperial Justice Bureau. And I understand that this is likely a housing of Imperial property. And we're here to help catalog and secure it for Imperial reclamation. So I would be very much obliged if you would assist us in this matter. Could I please start with, could you give me your name and title?
Of course, Sir Harrier, Deputy Ad Hoc. But first, do you have credentials? If you are indeed a member of the Imperial bureaucracy, I'm sure that you have bureaucratic, diplomatic, or agency.
Well, first of all, you could look at the Imperial seal here on the end of my halberd. Then you will see in my uniform, the uniform of a Imperial Justice Bureau agent.
Both easily obtained.
Can I use an icon relationship?
Oh, heck yeah, you can use an icon relationship.
All right. So apparently Quincy knew that he was going to meet up with Harrier again soon. And it wasn't a complete surprise to Quincy that this encounter was going to happen. And if I do remember that in our first encounter, I believe my character tormented poor Harrier with some insults about magic swords and things like that. But I'd like to use my Imperial relationship to attempt to have some sort of legal flubbity-jubbity document that does give Harrier, let's use big words like plenipotentiary, which I don't really remember what it means, and consum ultimate, you know, advisory capacity at large, etc., and do it in like Imperial script that is actually really freaking hard to read, and the library people who are, they never want to admit that they have trouble reading it, you know, so they look at it and go, oh, looks pretty fucking good to me, you know, oh, okay. Bleep me. And then yeah, so that was my icon relationship, you know.
Thank you, Ad Hoc. He looks at it, and you can clearly see he is, like, doing the little bit further out, a little bit further in, a little further out, turns it over.
And I tell him it's a Sharpus S. It's a Sharpus S. You have to look at it through two angles at the same time.
Everything appears to be in order here.
He takes the paper, and he slaps it up against the front of... one of the golems' faces.
Ooh.
And you see a brief flare of light, and when he pulls it away, you can see, like, the script has been absorbed onto that glass plate and slowly bleeds out down and starts etching itself into the metal of the iron golem.
Well, it is good that you have brought your strike force here, Sir Harrier. And he kind of, he, like, nods to everybody he is. He even kind of nods to you, Grognar. It is fortuitous and of great celebration to myself and those of us who still work here on the Great Library of Boo. Sadly, that is me and my two golems. I am the Grand Chief Librarian and also the Chief Grand Librarian, or Leandro, of the Library of Boo. And we have had some problems that I was planning to send for aid to the Imperial bureaucracy, but as you are here and sent to investigate and put things in order, then perhaps you can help me. There have been, sadly, you know how libraries are, all being connected, products of the Archmage's grand experiments in the lost ages of time. Things slipped by the wards. I don't know who this Archmage is currently, but his maintaining of the wards seems a bit slapdash, a bit slipshod, if you would. And sadly, the library is currently, I won't necessarily say under attack, but there have been several incursions by goblinoids, humanoids, and several other noids that have been very disruptive to the peaceful study and routine processes of the library. I can't tell you how many times there have been complaints brought to my attention about this by myself. And the thing is, and he kind of looks in at Rocknar a bit. There seems to be two distinct factions warring at in the library at the current time. There are those who bore the red, the leather-bound pieces of books. That's, I think, how they got past the wards. We have a very open door for return policies in the library, Mystical Library of Boo. And they seem to be, they have some sort of a diabolic quality, a demoniac quality about them. They also, and he leans into you, Hector, have a faint sulfuric smell, a little gassy. You know what I mean? But also, yes, but the trick is you take your hard-boiled eggs and then you put them in ice water and it pulls. I could go in, there's a treatise here I could explain it to you on why the sulfur collects around the yolk of an egg and how to get rid of that. This neither here nor there.
Yeah.
The other ones bore a very chromatic appearance. Three primary colors, if you will. A blue, a red, and a blackish tinge to their robes and their auras. I, of course, activated the defense protocols of the library, and they seem to be both in working order and woefully inadequate to deal with a strike force from the Dragon Empire. So perhaps you would be willing to step in and...
Yes, well, the Imperial Justice Bureau has great pride in anticipating the concerns of its citizens, and as you said, we have already arrived. And yes,
and I assume thank you. Thank you for this visit.
Thank you for that report. Do you have an assessment of numbers on the on
I'm
the
sure I have an assessment suspects. Of numbers.
No, on the number of suspects in the two rival gangs that have broken into this piece of Imperial property.
There seems to be sadly about a dozen of them. I have them currently.
A dozen each, or a dozen between the two factions?
Listen, I've studied many things. I can tell you just by glancing the script of the third Imperial Dynasty compared to that of the sixth Imperial Dynasty.
Can you count to 12 or to 24?
Because it's bound in dragonhide or humanhide. I can tell you just by the wards inscribed along the...
Oh, a man of so much learning. How wonderful. It's so good to meet such a learned fellow such as yourself.
Yes. Unfortunately, most humanoids look the same to me. So I don't have an accurate count. I could have seen the same person 12 times. Or they could be 12 different people.
Are you good at finding books?
It is the entirety of my job description, good sir.
Good. Do you have one on gong farming? I have a sudden interest in it.
Yes. Now, do you speak of the gong farmers of the western Giant Walk Mountains, which is, shall we say, a crap job? Or do you speak of Alaric the Mad's attempt to actually plant gongs in the ground and cause metallic flowers to raise up so that he might summon the seven instances of Othranol.
Halfling gong farmer.
Teyva, while all of this is going on, you have a lower center of gravity. You are aware that this tower is shifting kind of back and forth. What do you want to do?
Besides just like rolling her eyes at every other word that the librarian is saying, she's trying to look past him while he's distracted to see, like, outside this door, is it a hallway? Is it more books? Is it a stairway? And is there an exit out of this very shifty tower?
So there is, beyond the doors, you can see that there is a balcony, and you can see the railing kind of starts to curve around on either side, so you get the feeling like there are stairs just beyond, because there's the center of, you know, beyond that railing is just nothing. You can barely make out the far side of the other side of the tower. As you look around, you can see there are actually several towers, like when you look out the windows, that are atop this building. But again, what's strange is these high, craggy, what you took at first to be mountains, because you can see, remember, you could see the trees out the tower, the tops of the trees, you're clearly, you know, above them. But you take these, you see these gray, craggy hills off in the distance. But Teyva, you're a ranger.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you have a rangery background.
I sure do.
What kind of background would you have for, say, identifying natural features?
That would probably be my tracker background.
Give me a tracker background roll.
With wisdom? With
this is actually gonna be more of an intelligence.
Okay. Hey, not bad. 18.
Okay, so here's the thing. As you look at these hills, you realize two things. One, they're not as far away as you thought. And two, the swaying of the tower, the hills seem to be swaying to the same motion.
Oh.
It's not the tower going back and forth. It's like the whole ground.
Would it occur to me then that perhaps we're swaying in a very set pace, perhaps an almost walking pace of something?
With an 18, it's slow enough, right? Like, it's not mm-hmm. The tower's not whipping back and forth, right? It's a very slow mm-hmm. move from one side to the other. Yeah, maybe. And as you ask that question, you're like, those aren't hills. They look more like spines.
We'll be back with more of our 13th Age actual play. All music for the show has been used in partnership with BattleBards. Visit BattleBard.com for all your RPG music needs. And if you'd like to support the show, you can do so by becoming a patron at patreon.com/iconicpodcast.
You've been listening to the Iconic Podcast. If you have any questions, comments, or feedback, you can contact us at iconicpodcast@gmail.com. Also, check out iconicpodcast.com for news, updates, and more information about the show. Thanks for listening.